and my family for so many years, and we've been so blessed with your fellowship and partnership in the Lord for so many years, and we have been able to do many things because of your partnership. I appreciate Bill and his wife Connie as well for their friendship and love and care they have shown us for so many years as well. And it is such an honorable thing to be here. If you're visiting today and you thought you'll hear Mike Hickson, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not him. So please do come back when he'll speak again. And this is a great congregation. They will love visitors, and they'll take care of you and as well. So please open your Bibles to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, which is what we read just a few moments ago, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes again. I'm here to talk about our work in India that the Law Olive Branch congregation has been partnering with for many years. And again, like I said, we appreciate it so much. And this is a map of India. Just want to, for a quick geography class, it's on the other side of the world. Right now in India, it's about 11:45 in the night. So most of India will be asleep. So some of us, obviously, the one that work in the tech support, they are awake. So you may be able to get them, but they live on the other side of the world. And where I come from, I pointed out in the red dot in here, which will be, there you go, right around that. That's where we are from, in India. And it used to be a small town of 500,000 people, and now we are now a smart city of 4 million people. It only means that we have dumb leaders, that's it, but smart people. It's a growing city, full of idolatry as well, that we have learned. And also education for many villages around the area. And the Lord's Church was planted by J.C. Bailey, Brother J.C. Bailey, in 1964 when he baptized my father in the Bay of Bengal in Chennai. That was about in February 9th, 1964. We just celebrated my dad's 60th spiritual birthday before we left to come here to meet with the brethren here. And it is a blessing to have known the church in infancy and all through my life see it grow. My father, like I said, he was the first one to be baptized in the Lord's Church. Before him, there were no members of the church or no church in India before him. Now, but we don't know how many congregations are there. Many of them are house churches. Many of them are like 10-member congregations, 5-member congregations, small ones. But church exists in India. In number of people as well, and the basis of our ministry, that's where we come from, is the scriptures, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and then he's talking about all authority has been given unto me, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you open your Bibles and look at that, I went to the Memphis School of Preaching. I'm a graduate of the 2017 class, and I learned that the Greek word for nations in that scripture is actually ethnos. Ethnos comes ethnic groups. Now, why is that important? Because when India got independence, the Constitution of India tells us we had more than 589 kingdoms. So which means every tribal lord had a separate language. So now when India got independence, they combined the common language that is to be spoken there and made that a state. So if you cross the state border, like today, I just did from Tennessee to Mississippi, I would be speaking a different tongue. I would be eating different kind of food. And I even joke around that we have different gods. If you change the state border, you have a different god in India. And that's how they believe it's predominantly idolatry. So this scripture is actually, especially Matthew 28, 18 to 20, as well as Mark 16, 15 and 16, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is our basis for our evangelism ministries. And we do quite a bit of them. And I do have some brochures. I apologize, I didn't have enough time to spread, to give every one of you a brochure. But once we are done, you can always collect from me in the back. And I want to tell you also something, that as preachers, we have been preaching in every way we can. Now, but at the same time, it's one thing to talk about God's love, it's another thing to show God's love. And that's what we do in benevolence. That's why it is not a New Testament principle. It was also an Old Testament principle. The psalmist says in Psalm 41:1, that blessed is he that considered the poor. The Lord will lift him up in the time of trouble. Now James 1:27, it goes along with it. Pure religion and undefiled before the God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to remain unspotted from this world. Now, if it is something that I know we're talking about VBS, July 1 to 3, Lord willing, we will be here and we'll try to attend the VBS also with you all. It's in the VBS and Sunday schools, the kids learn this song, "I am in the Lord's Army." You remember that song? We all are in the Lord's Army. We cannot be fighting with each other. We have a common enemy that we need to defeat. So we need to build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Comfort one another, build one another, or edify one another. Now, these are the basis for our scriptures. I'm not here to talk about every single thing that we do in India in 52 other ways, but I'm going to talk about briefly about our radio and TV evangelism that we are doing for the past year and many years before that, the internet radio evangelism, the course materials, the gospel meetings, the school of evangelism. We talk about the benevolence ministries, talk about relief to the poor and needy, the children home, the leper colony welfare we do, as well as helping widows, and also edification, visiting the persecuted. Persecution is rampant in India. Right now it is on the highest level it has been in the past 2,000 years. They're literally targeting Christians and killing them and burning their villages and things like that. So we will talk about how we visited them and encourage them to keep on keeping on. Of course, every mission will have mission needs and as well as our contact information for your consideration, both for elders as well as individuals that would like to contribute to our mission work and participate in our labors. Please do so. And in this evangelism, let me talk about the radio part. First of all, Dad was on the radio for, my father was on the radio for about 40 years, I would say, in India. Back then, I see a lot of gray hair in the audience. So you would remember the reels that they would record. You don't? Okay. You do? Okay. Cool. The reels. The dad's program was recorded on those reels. Brother J.C. Choate would come to India, and he would record those on the reels and have it broadcasted on the shortwave radio. For 40 years, it was the radio we preached. He preached on the radio. And then what happened? And then technology grew. Back when he was on the radio, India had an average of one television per district in the entire country. One television per district in the entire country. So it was not the ideal way to reach people. So, but technology grew in the early 2000s. Every room or every home started having color television. Now we have wide screens, right? Back then it was like a screen was small, but the body was big. It was a wider tail back then, and the screen was small. But now it's a different technology. But so he moved from radio to television. The media changed, but not the message and the format. So we continue to preach. I have been, since I have taken up the Lord's work to be a gospel preacher, I've been on television as well. And I have been on television in America as well. I've been on the Bible Answer program for 6 years now. This was a picture I taken last month, or actually this month, early this month in May. If you want to check me out, my answers or anything, please go and see this program. It's next Sunday morning. I'll be on it every Sunday in June. I'll be one of the panelists that represents the gospel in this program, and I enjoyed it with you can see the familiar faces, Mike McDaniel and what's his name? I forgot. Mark Teske. How did I forget that? I'm sorry about that. Don't tell him I forgot him. And Sammy, brother Sammy, and he's over there too. And so we enjoyed it. This is a picture I wanted to show you. I don't know if you can see it. Yes, please do take a look at this. This is Dad's radio program. And the dots represent where we are getting those active listeners every day. And obviously, my language that I speak is Telugu. Telugu, we are about I would say about 50 million people that speak the language in the entire world. 50 million to 100 million people. That's it, pretty much speak the world. And we are usually concentrated in this area of India. And you can see not many listeners in the other part of the country, right? So we get many listeners from here. But we were surprised when Brother Aaron Cozart sent to us this picture that Dad's radio program listeners are more in America than in India. This was from last year, yes. And technically, so its radio programs, the listeners are here as well. So which is an encouraging for us that when he said go into all the world, and we are doing that. We are doing the Lord's work. Like we are able to go, but with the old message, which is the true message, with the new media, and we are combining it, and we are able to reach out to more people that way. And the basic Bible course, which is written by Brother Ira Rice back in the 60s, it has been translated into 16 different languages. In Kakinada, India, we are ministering in three languages, English, Telugu, and Oriya. Dad translated that into Telugu. My mother translated into Oriya. In the past 60 years, we have reached out to 5 million people. And I'm happy to say that I have inherited this ministry. I'm also directing this ministry in India. We have 12 people that work with us. We are on track to try to reach to 6 million people by the end of this year. We get about 300 responses each day for this program. One of the reasons why we are able to reach so many people is that Bible is very hard to get in India. So we have a Bible study program that gives them a free Bible in the mail. It attracts people. And that is why we get so many responses. My daughter is right there. She will pass on the Bibles. Fiona, take the box of Bibles and you can pass it on to people. And I will tell you one thing. If you can read any of those Bibles, please keep that. But if you cannot read it, pass it on to others. Give that challenge to somebody else. And if nobody can read it, please give it back to me. I'll try somewhere else. Right? So we get like 300 responses each day. And this serves as three purposes. Like I said, India is a land of religion. We have countless gods, and also countless denominations are also there in the world, and many of them exist in India. So if a person takes that course who has never heard of Christ, who has never heard of the God of the Bible, he now has heard of the God of the Bible. But if they are from the denomination, what happens? Well, they now know the truth. How is the Lord's Church organized? But if they are from the Lord's Church, they have material to take it to others. That is why we're able to reach so many. And in the last year, we sent about 47,000 course materials in 1 year. That's about an average of 4,000 per month. And subsequently, we started about 50 new village congregations in the last year. And we please continue to pray for this work. And because it is an ever-growing work, and we are able to reach as many people as we can via this work. And this is a picture of my dad with the Bibles that are received each month. We receive about 2,000 Bibles in the first week of the month. And they are gone by the end of the month. I'll show you some pictures of how they are distributed. Everyone that completes the Bible correspondence course gets a free Bible. I see some of the ladies in the back are already trying to read it and passing them on. Yes, it only takes 30 days. So, and there's some Bibles program. Like I said, we are giving to all ages. Some in the elementary school, you can see them young, quite young, in the high schools and junior colleges. They come and finish the course and pick their Bibles. And also villages from various various towns and different states, they come in with their wives or villages in this time, in this particular occasion, they come pick those Bibles. This is brother Ramesh, he's one of my students. He came and picked his Bible, and other brothers as well. And sometimes when preachers cannot come, they'll send their wives to pick the Bibles. What do they do with it? They go and give to their church members that have finished their course. Here I have to mention it. You could have asked, why can't you just mail it to them? Yes, we mail quite a bit. I'll show you a picture in just a minute. But what happens is, in India, the postman is a radical Hindu. He does not want the Bible to be delivered. So he sends them back to us. So they are not delivered in many villages. So these villagers have to come and pick them up by hand. At the same time, when they do come, sometimes in those villages, it is illegal to baptize anyone. So they bring their confession and their lost soul to come to us to baptize. So we baptize them in our congregation in the back. And these are some pictures where the preachers are hand delivering the Bibles to their members. It is a really hard thing when you cannot mail somebody a Bible, right? It's not that we have a Dollar Tree or Walmart or Barnes & Nobles or a Christian bookstore nearby where we can get a Bible. We should appreciate in this country that we are not too far from a copy of a Bible. In India, you could be kilometers, in other words, days away from a copy of the Bible, and which is hard. And also, I was going to show you these pictures of our day's mail that is going out each day. Sometimes, as I said, there's a box of Bibles that goes out. Each box has about 40. Sometimes we have 50. And sometimes we have each Bible that is wrapped up and ready to be mailed, and also a box of Bibles, and the course materials, the certificates of completion, and other materials that go out. And you can see, in every different day, it's a different kind of a mail that goes out. I have 12 people that are helping me to put this all together. And they do a tremendous job in putting them together and send them off. And personal evangelism, just because we are on the media, that does not mean we don't do one-on-one studies. In fact, we do one-on-one studies. We have taken up the challenge to translate the Back to the Bible course material. I'm sure you might have heard about it. In 12 different Indian languages. We're at 6 right now. We are able to translate into 6 different languages. And we hope someday somebody will come that knows how to use that material, come and train us in India to use it much better. Right now, we're just shooting in the dark, doing whatever we can to use that material. But we do have personal evangelism requests from people. They do come walk in, and we need to be ready. As you can see, in these two occasions, they came to this is my office chair, I sit there. They come in the broad daylight without telling me or taking me an appointment. They just come in with their questions and then start studying. And this particular occasion, these two came, this was a few years ago, these two came when the offices were closed. You can see nobody else is sitting in the office except me. And I sat there for the next 3 hours and studied with them. And sometimes young people or anyone, after the study is over, they want to be baptized. And we baptize them as well. And we continue to do gospel meetings. I wanted to show this in my own tongue, talking about gospel meeting. And you can see my father, my brother, myself, and another local preacher over there in this particular occasion. You can see everybody is wearing a suit except me. I learned the hard way. Reason why is I learned the hard way. If I don't send them a good picture, they'll just find something on Facebook and post it in there. So I look like a fisherman, while the rest of them are like awesome preachers. So I learned the hard way. So and when we went into the village, there was a 60-foot banner outside the village. telling everybody that there's a gospel meeting. And this in this village, I will tell you, in this village, my dad planted this congregation 50 years ago. When I visited them this time, this was the 50th anniversary along with their gospel meeting, when I visited them, I learned that in my own state, there are 7 other languages that are widely spoken that I don't know of. One of the Bibles that you are seeing, you perhaps are seeing, it may have an English script. That's that Bible. That's that language. 50 years ago, they didn't have a Bible in their own tongue. They have to learn my language and then read the Word of God. Can you imagine how difficult that would be? You just have to learn a different language to know what the God has said. It is very difficult for them, and to remain faithful too. But they did. And then 50 years later, they have more educated people in their own tongue that are speaking. So they translate. The first thing they did was translate the Bible into their own tongue, and now are publishing it. And you might have seen, I don't know who has that, that one of the copies of the Bible that is being passed around. It does not have a native script. It has an English script. So try to read it, see if you can. So it's a tribal language spoken only by 50,000 people. And this gospel meeting, I was telling you, this is the same place in this village. What happened was we expected 300 people to show up in that gospel meeting. We had more than 1,000 on day one. And I'll tell you a funny story right here. You can see all the there are a few brethren here, a few men here that are sitting in here. So, and the preacher, what he did was, before the gospel meeting started, he started reading names of the people and their denomination name. And they're telling them, please come and sit down, Brian. And he's like, he called out like 12 people and then made them, please come and sit up front. He's not calling them brother like we always, like our culture is. He's calling them by their denominational titles. We were like, whoa, that's scrupulous for all the church members. What are you doing? What are you saying? But he's doing that. And he knows that's he will have trouble with the brethren. But he didn't care about it. He was not trying to please us. He's inviting them, having them sit up front. And then after all the service was over, after all the gospel meeting was over, we went and talked to him. Why were you calling them reverend? Why were you calling them pastor? Why were you calling them this and that? Then this is what he says. Sir, I've been laboring in this village for the past 50 years. My members know that there is only the Lord's church and there is no other church. My men are strong in it. However, these denominational preachers, they try to steal my flock all the time. They tried, I know. And they have never heard the gospel. And I know when I invited them to come, they have come. And they're sitting in the audience, perhaps trying to do the same. So if I invite them and have them sit up front, they're not going to the back. They're up front. And I know they're listening to the gospel for the first time. They are taking notes. I know they will perhaps convert someday. And he was right. 2 days later, 3 days later, he said he got 4 denominational pastors, former denominational pastors, now studying the gospel, trying to be true Christians. I'm like, wow, that's something I learned. You only learn these things in the field, which was something, an eye-opening thing for us, because that's more for their culture in that village as well. And of course, I will be seeing this brother this evening. This is Brother David Ulrich. He's an elder at Camden, Tennessee. And Bill, you should perhaps come with him next time to see us. And he came to us. I asked him to support me a few years ago. He said he needs to check my work, check us out. I said, sure, you're welcome to come. He wrote letters asking about where he should go to India. Everyone that they replied back said, go straight to us and see them first. So he was like, okay. And then he did come. He spent about a week with us in India. On the day one, I took him to one leper colony. Day two, I took him to another leper colony. Day three, we had a preacher's meeting with all the students also that came. And day 4 and day 5, we went on the streets, preached the gospel in villages. So day 6, he said he's tired. Day seven, he preached in the local congregation for us, and day 8, he flew off. when brethren from World Evangelism, they do come and visit us as well. We went and did the same thing. And again, the School of Evangelism that I direct, we do study each verse in the scripture and give an explanation about it. This year, we are studying the Old Testament. We are studying every scripture in the Old Testament. And in fact, tonight, I have to start the book of Ruth. Lord willing, I'll finish it tomorrow, if not by the later this week. Previously, last year, we studied the entire New Testament as well. Towards the end of the year, we studied the book of Revelation as well. I am also recruiting any preacher brethren that want to teach us online, please do so. You'll have to teach it in the night, and I will translate it from India, which will be daytime over there. I do have about 15 active students each class that are on the Zoom call, but there are about 100 each day that hear those lessons on YouTube when they're live streamed over there. We learned that when you have a Zoom meeting, you can live stream it on YouTube. Zoom meeting may end, but the YouTube video will go on. And that way it is there for a longer time. And people can see it and take notes and ask questions. In fact, I think I have more YouTube students than live Zoom class students. Because people work, they go to work, they do something else. One of my students is a city, he's a trash picker in the city. He picks trash. He drives around and picks the trash for the city, right? So he puts his cell phone, puts his things on, and he listens as he picks trash. He listens for the entire 4 hours. And if you have any questions, he stops around it and asks questions, and then goes on. And souls are saved in villages. In this particular village, in blue color coded, this was a village. We drove for 6 hours, and after the gospel meeting, about 4 young girls came forward to be baptized, and the preachers offered me to go baptize them. I was ready to go, and then I asked him, where is the baptistry? He said, we don't have a baptistry. I said, okay, where are you going to wash? Where are you going to wash away their sins? He said, there is a muddy water over there. That's where we wash our buffaloes. That's where we, if it can wash away buffalo's dirt, it can wash away their sins. So please let's go and baptize them there. And then I said, I'm wearing light colored pants. You know, I cannot get in there. So please do the baptizing. So he did that. He went and baptized them. But in the red one, you see them, the red color-coded pictures. This is the same place where we did the 50th anniversary and the tribal village we were talking about. I just spoke about a few minutes ago. On one of those days, I think it was the second day, we had 3 people that came forward to be baptized. It was right in the gospel meeting. They had a church building and they had a baptistry. But they ran out of money to build steps to go into the baptistry. So what did they do? They have a ladder. They have a ladder made out of wood, or bamboo wood, to go in there. So if you're heavy, you will slip and fall. But if you're lean, you will be okay. So they went in there. And like scripture said, they went into the water. Remember that scripture? They went into the water, Acts 8. Preacher went into the water, and then the 3 youths also, that's Alabama, right? Youths. So they went into the water, and they got baptized. After they came out, what happened? We had one man just came running and then fell at the baptistry, fell with bumping his head. And he got up, and then he was just showing signs like this and that. So what happened? What is he doing all that for? And then here comes his family. They said, I don't know if you get a chance to see that tribal Bible, which is in English script. If you don't get it, please do take a look at it. This is what they said. For 50 years, they heard the gospel in my tongue. They never heard the gospel in their own tongue. Right? And they never had a chance to read the Bible for themselves in their own tongue. This man, being mute from birth, he cannot speak. He only learned how to do sign languages. So while we were preaching, my father, my brother, and myself, and other preachers too, the family were taking notes of the scriptures and then passing on to him. So he's opening it and reading the Bible for himself in his own tongue. That makes a different thing, right? So he learned that he's a sinner and he needs to get it right with the Lord. So before he wanted to, so that's why he went home and he prayed about it and he came running. And before we leave to baptize him, and he, at the last step, he tripped and fell and bumped his head. So, but his family came and spoke for him. So we wanted to, and they asked us to baptize him. We were ready to baptize him. And then the challenge came, how do you take confession? Because he's mute, right? So the elders over there decided, since we preached him and he learned through sign and everything, we can use the sign language to get his confession. So through sign language, we got his confession, and he went down and baptized him again on that day. And then a week later, we had a call about a young man who was 14 years old. His leg was amputated because they found tumor in the leg. And then later on, they found tumor in his brain as well. This is what we learned in working for the Lord in the missions, in the mission field, that people have a fear of death, right? And fear of death is a great motivator for them to turn towards God. So we learned that in COVID. We had so many people, like the Macedonian call, while they're on deathbed, they wanted to know if they did right with the Lord. What else they could do while they're alive, before they die, to make it right with the Lord. So, and he told his parents, he's about 15 years old, and the doctors don't think he will live longer because the tumor has gone into his brain now. He wanted to get right with the Lord, so his sister as well. So, and they called us on a Sunday. We opened our doors at 10 o'clock. They were at the church building by 8. And we have a baptistry with steps and everything. So we helped him to get baptized on the day. And these two, the mute and the lame, got baptized within the week. And I appreciate that song you sung, "The Gospel is for All," because truly, the gospel is for all. And it teaches us this way. That when you see blind, the lame, the mute, the lepers, the sick, they come to the Lord. Yes, that's the true meaning. The gospel is for all. And benevolence, and we found we needed to, like I said in the beginning, that blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will lift him up in the time of trouble. The poor and the neglected. Widows in India are neglected quite a bit. In fact, they're a black cat is respected more than a widow in India. And I will tell you that. It is true. Many years ago, before the British came, if a husband died, they would cremate him. But in the same fire, they would also burn the widow alive in the same fire. If you want to look it up, it's just four-letter word, S-A-T-I, in Google, and you will see it. You will see it in how the horrible stories over the years, for centuries, how Hindus have burned their widows along with their dead husbands. That is how they are treated. And in many places, they are not invited to birthday parties, weddings, any other gatherings. They have community gatherings, festivals, all that. If a man sees a widow while he's going to work in the morning, he'll turn back and go home, not go to work, because he thinks she's bad luck. And all that is there. And many of the congregation widows that we have, they have been outcasted, thrown out by their own family because she turned to the Lord. Right? She has nothing. So we try to give them food materials once every month about 400 to 500 rupees each Sunday. That's about 400 rupees is about $5 now. And it's about $5 a week that they receive the support for them. And the food as well. We do give them clothing and medicine if they need it. We have about, at the same time, this is a preacher's wife widow. I'm raising funds for her as well, appealing to individuals that who can come forward and help us to help this preacher's wife widow. Her story is this. Her name is Ronnie. Her story is this. She labored with her husband for about 30 years. They planted about 5 to 6 village congregations. During COVID, her husband died. 7 months later, her only son died. When the news came to her that her only son died, she had a heart attack. And in the, this is all during the COVID, right? When during the hospital stay, she had a stroke and lost her strength on her left side and her hearing. And so she, eventually after 4 months later, she was sent home. And 5 months later, her only daughter-in-law took both the grandchildren and went back to her Hindu father, leaving her to die. And she's being neglected. She does not have anyone to take care of her. All she requested was $200 a month support. $150 of that will go to her medicine, and $50 will go to her living expenses. That's what she's asked for. I've been asking for the past 1 month. I was only able to raise $50 a month support. And please, if any other individuals in this congregation would like to support a preacher's wife widow, please connect with me, and we will do everything we can to get you more information if you need to help her. She needs help because, like I said, widows' lives in India are not pleasant. They are outcasted. In fact, before we left to America, we heard about another preacher's wife who died of a brain tumor, and they have a daughter who is in early 20s. She is bedridden because they found tumor during her young age and removed every single piece of it. She's basically a vegetable. She can't move. And they both decided they have nothing to live for, so they drank poison. And mother died, daughter survived. And even last we heard, she was in the hospital. So they're worried that even if she survives, who is going to take care of her? So we do not want any more lives to be lost, especially of widows, for neglect, because that will be a blot on the church. The church cannot take care of their own family. So please, if you are one of those that can help us, please let us know. We'll try to help her as well. And a leper colony, I will talk about this. I know I'm running short of time. There are 10 leper colonies near Kakinada. We are helping 2. Second one we started helping last year, within the last year. This is about 60 members in there. There are just a few pictures of how the lepers live in the leper colony. Many of these are Christians. We have, in this particular leper colony, we have 65 families. 40 of them are members of the church. A preacher is there for them. He could become a lawyer, but he decided to stay in the leper colony and preach for and care for the lepers as well. And we, as a local congregation, we raise supplies. We in India, we're from the south, so we eat a lot of rice. So we collect rice every Sunday. In the afternoon, they come. The leper colony brethren come and pick them up and feed the lepers and their families. In these pictures, you will not see any kind of fancy tables, silver or fancy plates or anything. They squat down on the streets and they have their meal for the day. There is a leper colony. This is a leper colony Church of Christ. If you can come, please do come. I know one of your former brethren, Ray Maples, he passed away a few years ago. He did come and visit us, and we took him to the leper colony. He might have talked to you about it as well. Dylan, his grandson, he did come there. This is a second leper colony we took on within the last year to help as well. We continue to help the handicapped, the blind, the lame. And if you open the scriptures and look for the life of Jesus, who did he help the most? The lame, the blind, the cripple, the lepers. And you will see that if we show compassion in those the Lord has shown compassion, the Lord will be glorified. And he will be pleased for our labors. So we do not want any of those that we cannot help, any of those that we can help, go without getting any help. So we want to help them as many people as we can get. And edification, really quickly, again, in the beginning also I told you that in the past year and a half, persecution of Christians in India is on the very high level. It's coming from the top. It's coming from the government. It's coming from the Prime Minister of India. He's a cruel man, and he's trying to ethically cleanse any of those tribes that are Christians. And right now, he's targeted a state called Manipur. Just type in Google, just Manipur. I'll show you the spelling of it, and then the Google will tell you right away Manipur violence. This is a wall in the back. You can see a wall of remembrance. What they have done is they have targeted Christians of all ages. It could be a two-day-old baby to a 70-year-old or 80-year-old lady. They have chopped the heads. There are young women that were paraded naked and gang-raped by 40, 50 men. And then after that, they have butchered her and showed her body parts as a trophy. This has happened in India. And my brother did go and visit them in August. I also wanted to go, but the situation was so tensed. And the elders, the congregation said, please don't, you both are of the same family. If you both go there and get stuck, nobody can get you out. So I stayed back as a backup. If he got stuck, somebody has to go find him and bail him out. So I stayed back, and he went. He did go and see horrible things that words cannot describe. And this wall of remembrance is those that were butchered, killed, targeted because of being a Christian. They have burned down 400 church buildings, scattered about 60,000 people. They're now living in six refugee camps, six. My brother did go there, like I said, with his team, and found there are 30 different Lord's congregations are represented in the six refugee camps. I'm not talking about people in the Christian umbrella. I'm talking about Lord's Church. 30 congregations are represented. So these are our flesh and blood brethren that are targeted. And he did go and give them basic supplies like water bottles, sun lamps, you name it, medicine, food. He's saying that they're pregnant women living in those camps. So they don't have diapers for babies. They don't have clean things for children. So he did go and glorified God with them, preached for them, told them to be steadfast in hope for them. And I also did go and present the gospel in one of the villages. This is actually in a different state. This state was targeted almost 20 years ago because of Christian population there is in there. And one of the village congregations was actually burned down in this village. So they were targeted 20 years ago. They know this is the election year. The moment elections are finished, they are next. And that's how the devil works. They'll wait for the elections to be over and start it. I was invited to be their preacher for a couple of days to do a gospel meeting. And in this village, when I did go there, one of my team members was thirsty, so we stopped for water. And as the preacher went into the store to collect water, the guy that sells the water bottles, he knows that this man is a preacher. So he said to him, in the loud, clear voice, as soon as the election is over, I'm going to chop you to death and burn down the church building wherever you are preaching. So they are living in fear. And we did go and encourage them to be, again, to be faithful to the Lord. And this is Brother Sudhakar and his wife. And this is his home. That's where That's where he worships every Sunday. And he's the only Christian in the entire village. So they come in and disrupt services. They chant their God's name in his home until he stops preaching. And all sorts of things that you can think of that they're doing it. And please do remember these brethren in your prayers, because sometimes we take our faith and our lives for granted. But the devil is coming, and the devil has already reached them and to try to kill them and to stop preaching the gospel. Please continue to pray for them, like I said, and help them if you can. And I want to talk about our mission needs. Our major needs are obviously the Bibles. We are short of at least $4,000 a month for Bibles, because we are giving away 2,000 Bibles each month. We only have a supply of funds for 1,000. So the other deficit has to come from somewhere else. So please do remember to support us if you can. Friends and family support, we're able to just have barely enough. The widow support, we want to do it. Handicap, blind, leper colony, Manipur relief. This is the persecuted place I was talking about. We raised about $20,000 last year when Ricky went, and then he saw the greater need. We want to raise at least $100,000 right now and help our 30 congregations of brethren in those refugee camps, so that they can get some relief. The Orissa as well, and preacher support. I have some preachers that are seeking support. The School of Evangelism that I teach to convert souls and gain souls and edify them as well. Please do help us in those areas as well. And you can support us through 70 West Congregation. They're in Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas. I do have Zelle. I also have PayPal. If you want to support me directly, that's my email out there, ronnie.gutam@gmail.com, and you can always look me up on Facebook. I'm friends with some of you. I know Jared is one of my friends on Facebook. If you're friends with Jared, you can also find me. If you have any other questions, I'm here. You can always ask me, and we'll talk about it. And if I cannot get you an answer, I'll get you an answer as soon as I can. And thanks for your time. And please do remember why we suffer like this, why we have to do all these things, why we are doing all this. Because the answer is simple. The Lord loved us so much that he sent forth his only begotten Son to live among us and die for our sins, so that one day we can be with him in heaven. Right? And this is the gospel, that as Jesus Christ came into this world, as the scripture said, lived among us, as the scripture has prophesied, died for our sins, as the scripture has told, and raised up again on the third day, as he himself has prophesied. And if you're in this audience and have never heard the gospel, and you just heard it now, please believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon your belief, please repent of your sins. Leave them behind. Sin is not worth it. You're a lot more for the Lord. And if you are ready to kind of take on Christ, please confess your belief so that we can baptize you and wash away your sins. Maybe you're already a baptized believer, but temptation is at the door. Satan has the audacity to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are nothing. Maybe you have fallen short. Maybe you have fallen into temptation. Maybe you have done something that you should not have done. Whatever your needs are, please let us know as we sing the song of invitation.